today on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
Now, last week we had a chat with Paul Taylor, the very senior police officer up here, deputy commissioner these days, about this police station going to the western suburbs. Now, how well it's going to be manned, or how it is going to be manned, etc., no details yet, but we do know at least where it is going to be. Anyway, it goes on to say here in the Cairns Post, a notorious caravan park smack bang in the middle of Cairns M suburbs has emerged as the most likely location of a new police station. The Cairns Villa and Leisure Park, this is on P Street, Manura, has been the site of many crimes for years, including violence and drug use, with police regularly called to the property. Now, the Police Minister Mark Ryan and the Commissioner Katerina Carroll were in Cairns last week to announce they would spend close to $10 million on two new police facilities in the city, including one based in West Cairns. Now, while tight-lipped on the location at the time, the park's owner, Tony Brewer, has since confirmed he was in negotiations, and the Deputy Commissioner Paul Taylor said it was one of the options. He conceded the site would be ideal due to its prominent location. Is it going to work? Is it going to do the deal? You've heard about, well, in the police report today, for example, we're talking about 10 and 11 and 12-year-olds carrying knives, just absolutely untrammelled violence and theft, etc. Just unbelievable. It's like primary school gang warfare. But what happens? Of course, they go before the Children's Court and absolutely nothing effective seemingly is done. And the term coined on this program by Jason Christopher, the pharmacist out at Whole Life Pharmacy, was unlimited cautions. And since then, you hear it all the time. And we're not getting really convincing commitments from either the government or the opposition in Queensland that they're going to sort that matter out after the 31st of October. Jason Christopher's on the line to talk about, well, what he might have heard last week about these developments, and particularly from Paul Taylor, who gave us a fair bit of information on this Western Suburbs police beat. Hello, Jason.
Hey, how you doing, John?
How did you receive the news last week?
Oh, mate, I think from your point of view and mine, it's definitely a positive step. You've been in Cairns for obviously decades, and I've been around for a while as well. And it's strange, when I was a kid, I could never remember the coined term of the M suburbs in our regional Cairns. But I suppose over the last 10, maybe 20 years, it's become synonymous with issues up north and ongoing social problems as well as crime ones. So I'm glad that we will hopefully have a preventative option implemented in that area. I was brought up, obviously, in Manunda. That's where I lived. That was my old school up at Edge Hill, and a little bit different now to what it was when I was a young junior up there. But mate, they need to address it. If this is a positive step at preventing crimes before they occur, mate, I clap my hands together and say, yes, let's make it happen. But will it do that? I don't know, John.
Now, you made the point how different it is from when you were a teenager or whatever. Let's talk about that. Just how, you know, we've gone downhill since back then, because a lot of people back then said, oh, it's terrible. Well, now it's a heck of a lot worse. What are compare your recollections of your youth with what's happening now.
Well, I was brought up in the Torres Strait, so there was no supervision of me on Thursday Island when I was a young kid in primary school. My parents were working, both of them. So we were free to wander around the island, play on the beaches. And I often say to my kids, we'd go squidding during the Christmas holidays and walk around the entire island. For education reasons, my family chose to come down to Manunda and live in Cairns. And I did go to Cairns North initially and then to Edge Hill, but it was a similar status quo for me. When weekend sports came, whether it was rugby league, rugby union, tennis, it was a matter of me and my brothers and my sister getting on our push bikes, riding into the tennis centre, which is in town, or to the Esplanade, out to Irville. And I used to play kangaroos at Manunda. We played at Mann Street a lot. Everything was me riding around on a push bike. I can't remember having a lock as a kid. I suppose it was our own naivety. I can't remember too much of it getting stolen or getting bashed. There were the odd occasions. But, you know, as recently as last year, I've got friends who live in Redlinch and at St. Andrew's School. They blatantly had, you know, $2,500 up to $5,000 mountain bike stolen during school hours from St. Andrew's School. And funnily enough, you know where they end up trying to find their mountain bikes with community assistance and Facebook and online stuff? They end up at the exact caravan park that we're referring to now. It's not up the road at Three Sisters. And, you know, those places have become synonymous with drugs, with crime, you know, with violence. Is that a good look for Cairns? Definitely not. I know up near Raintrees as well, there's some issues there. Even in Monunda, opposite the Colonial Club, which has now thankfully been closed down. Those sorts of hubs create, you know, that hostile environment where it perpetuates more crime and violence and drug usage. If we have a physical presence there, similar to in the shopping centres, when we don't have police be here, the crime exacerbates. As soon as you put a presence there to try and quell that or to address it, community feels safer, things get addressed much more promptly. And I noted in some of the interviews they're saying that they're going to implement other diversionary options there, whether that's social workers or, I don't know, some other activities that try and upskill these kids under that precinct. And I think tick all the boxes, that's a good start. It doesn't address the punishment end of it. I think that's something that you and I have been delving into a lot over the last year or two, and that's seemingly not being addressed, but we do need to have repercussions for those crimes when they're committed. At present, they're trying to address stopping them, which is great, even better. $10 million, it's a good spend as well for our community. Obviously, that's got to be local workers to build that area, and it'll try and brighten up and make, hopefully, the M suburbs feel more safe. That's great for me, great for my family.
Yeah. Jason, not that long ago, you were very much in the front line alerting us in Cairns to this chroming fad that took hold among, fundamentally kids and young teenagers, et cetera. Has that reduced? Is that still the issue that it was, or has it been addressed to a certain extent?
Mate, it's still prevalent. I won't try and dismiss that as it's simply gone away. Something will always happen. I know when I was a kid, marijuana was very heavily used, my alcohol back then. Over the years, it morphs on, you know, whether it's chroming or ice or certain things like that. Ken Dalton still has my number, so he calls me occasionally, telling me how much of a problem the ice stuff is. Chroming has dissipated somewhat, but strategies were put into place. Like we had suggested and like we discussed, retail has taken them off the shelves. I know my wife commented that in Big W's or Coles, they actually have all of the chroming tools, I suppose, Rexona and that, in acrylic hard cases so that you can't simply grab them or steal them off of the shelves. That's a diversionary component, the multi-pronged thing where people are aware of it. We create awareness. We create diversionary tactics by making it harder for them to get a hold of. We make people aware that if they see kids walking around, you know, sniffing stuff through a sock, it's not something stupid that's going on there. They're trying to filter out the powder from the Rexona, and hopefully they can address that with, you know, the right social workers or the police or security or something of that nature. So it is not as prevalent as it was 12 months ago. Hopefully we've seen less incidents of it. But when I go for runs in the morning, I know I can still see them in playground areas, empty Rexona cans. It's unusual for kids to want to be spraying Rexona and leaving them in drains or at playground areas. So there is some potential that it is still out there. The kids are still getting a high from it, but it is being addressed. So you've helped in regards to that, John. So as you show, and I think the community's got behind trying to make, well, give these kids healthier, smarter, safer options, and hopefully educated them a little bit about the dangers to their physical health as well as their mental well-being. So tick the boxes, well done.
Jason, just going back about 2 years, I think it might be a bit less even than that, I think we're all shocked to hear that a 12-year-old kid had held up somebody out there on Mulgrave Road to steal, a carton of stubbies or some bloody thing like that. I mean, this is a 12-year-old armed with a knife, and everyone said, surely not a child. Now it's virtually every day. These kids get rounded up 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 with knives, and they're using them. And this is something I think we're not mentally across yet. These are potentially children who will have the capability to actually, intentionally or otherwise, end somebody's life.
Well, John, you've got to keep pushing that agenda. I know that 2 months ago there was some ludicrous proposal that kids under the age of 14 would have no repercussions for their criminal activities.
Yes.
Now, that is just the height of hypocrisy. We had kids in Bar Street as well as in, you know, Stockland Shopping Centre, as well as young as 10, abusing staff, spitting on them, trying to use, like you say, weapons, not always knives, but other weapons. And I had one with a guy who had just held up the day before, went into the watch house, was let out the following morning, and he's straight back in stealing. And he had knives in the shopping centre, and he is out back in society, potentially committing harm inside of 12 hours.
Yes.
And I'm thinking to myself, thank God, I was the one who called that guy in walking to the shopping centre at 6 o'clock the previous evening, and here I am dealing with him again at 9 a.m. the following day. So do we have some issues that need to be addressed? Definitely. Do letting juveniles under the age of 14 get away without repercussions? They will never learn. By the time you let them, you know, exacerbate their issues, it compounds itself and you'll never have them changing their habits. I'm not saying that you know, they should be locked up or incarcerated or anything of that nature. I'm saying that maybe we need to be looking at giving them better education, looking at, you know, their family life situation. Do we still say to them, it's wrong doing that? I think that's what they're not hearing at home. They're not hearing that, you know, what you just did where you held up a young girl behind the counter or you spat on her, that's not acceptable in our society. And someone needs to say that. If it's not the parents, then someone needs to let them know our expectations. And then hopefully we'll live in a safer place. But again, I'm not a politician. John, I thank you for continuing to include me in these discussions. But I don't have the solutions to all of them. Hopefully I can add some insight into some of them on what's happening locally here in Cairns. But giving them ice creams as a reward for committing those sorts of violent crimes, definitely not acceptable. Yeah. I don't know who came up with that idea, but that's crazy.
Always good to talk to you. Thanks, Jason.
Not a problem. Thanks, John.
Bye. Jason Christopher. He's a pharmacist out there at Whole Life Pharmacy.